Okay, so what I want to talk on today is, I've titled it Better Together. So if you've got your Bibles, could you turn with me to Romans 12, please? Okay, so Romans 1 to 11, for those that don't know, Paul is writing a letter to the Roman church, and through those first 11 chapters, he lays out the gospel. He just puts it in, you can't condense that into any less than 11 chapters. Just reading through it is, it's amazing to see what Christ went through for us, but to see why. Because all of us have sinned. We have all fallen short of God's glory. There's no getting around that. We all deserve judgment. We all deserve hell. Because we have sinned and we deserve to be separated from God. We deserve death. But God, in his love, in his mercy, sent Jesus down to earth. Completely divine, the Son of God, to die on the cross and take the judgment that we deserved. His death should have been our death. And in that, he took on our sin. 3 days later, he rose again, to show that death is defeated. And as Christians, we don't have to fear death anymore. After Paul has explained all of this good news to the Roman church, he then goes on to say how we should live because of it. So Romans 12, verse 4. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. There are many members in a body, and they don't all have the same function. But together, they work in their differences to form something that is as amazing as we are as humans. Every part of our body does something different. So what Paul is saying here, that as we are all in Christ, we are all different, but we're all called to work together as a body to move forward, to advance the kingdom of God. So, what is unity? What is moving forward together? John Piper says this: unity itself is neutral until it is given goodness or badness by something else. Herod and Pilate are unified by their common scorn for Jesus. This is not good unity. But if Paul and Silas sing together in prison for Christ's sake, this is a good unity. Therefore, it is never enough to call Christians to have unity, as that may be good or bad. Christian unity in the New Testament gets its goodness for a combination of its source, its views, its affections, and its aims. The source of all our unity is the Holy Spirit. When we become Christians, we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. In Ephesians 4, it talks about there is one Spirit. That is the same Spirit that is inside you, is inside me, if you have given your life to Jesus. And that's what unites us. As Bob was talking about earlier, it's that connection to God. Through the Holy Spirit, we are connected to God the Father, the creator of everything. He is in us and through us. That's Ephesians 4:6. And without him, we can do nothing. We were singing this morning that God is worthy. We're not worthy. That's what it ultimately comes down to. On our own, alone, we are not worthy. As I was saying, we have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. But God has redeemed us. God has made us worthy. And without him, we can do nothing. Literally, God breathed life into us. So without him, we are nothing. But because of him, we are everything. We belong to each other as a body. So in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. The Amplified Version translates belong as mutually dependent on one another, and the Passion translates it as vitally joined to one another, with each contributing to the others. Although we are many individuals, we are all affected by what happens to the other people. So the fact that there are people here, people aren't here, the fact that there are people that are ill, that affects us too. In 1 Corinthians 12:26, it says, if one part suffers, every part suffers with it. So when we look around this room and see people that aren't here, we should be suffering too. Each of those people has that function that we were talking about. We do not all have the same function. There are people who aren't here, and because they're not here, we're missing their function. But 1 Corinthians 12:26 goes on to say, if one part is honoured, every part rejoices with it. So often, it's easy when people come up the front and share their God story, share their good news. We can go, well, it's all right for you. God, why did you do this for them? But what about my situation? Why aren't you doing anything for me? But what the Bible says is when that person rejoices, we should be rejoicing with them. It doesn't get rid of our situation, but the fact that God is working through other people should give us hope. We should have the hope that because he works through them, he can work through us as well. But equally, when one part suffers, every part suffers. So when we see prayer requests go out, I know I've done it, where I've looked and thought, I'll pray about that later and carried on with what I'm doing. But we're a family at Rugeley Community Church. We should be acting as a family, so when there is a prayer request, our first thought should be, I'm going to pray for that person. Because that's what families do. They help each other, no matter what it costs them. And to pray a prayer doesn't cost anything. Even if you're working on something, it just takes a couple of seconds to pray for a person. So as soon as that prayer request comes up on Facebook or at the front of the church, we should be praying for people. Because if they're suffering, so are we. Something I wanted to talk about is an event that's coming up in about 2 weeks' time. And this is a national, well, international prayer event that the Church of England have organised called Thy Kingdom Come. The purpose of it is to get the nation and the world praying together for 10 days about the same thing. I was hoping we could do something as churches together in Rugeley, but for one reason or another, it just hasn't quite worked out. But this is a prime example of unity as the church, as a family here, and as the wider church through the nation and through the world. We should be praying together. And I firmly believe if every professing Christian in Rugeley got together and prayed for 10 days, we would see change in Rugeley. Things wouldn't be the same because we would all be praying for the same cause. We would be coming together just like the disciples did between Ascension and Pentecost. 10 days praying. And at the end of that, the Holy Spirit came. So if you'd like to know any more about that, come find me afterwards and I'll talk to you about that. So, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. we are all different. But in our diversity, we can find unity. Unity and diversity aren't mutually exclusive. So, in our differences, we become stronger. If you look at those gifts that are on there, it would be very hard for one person to do all of those things. The prophets tend to be quite out there and vocal and very articulate and bold. And that's not really the kind of person you want counseling you, sitting you down in a quiet room, trying to talk you through things. I'm not saying prophets can't counsel, but generally, prophets and counselors aren't the same people. The best way I've found to explore and think of unity and diversity is in musical notes. So this morning, Tim was playing his guitar. He could have just played, it was all in B flat this morning, wasn't it? So he could have just played B flat the whole way through, just one note. And that would have been a little bit boring. But he plays chords, he plays sequences of notes that complement each other and make a pleasing sound. So when you hear it, the guitar sounds nice, it sounds tuneful, hopefully. But if it was just one note, it'd be really dull and boring. So if in church we were all the same, it would be really dull and boring. Unity would be so much easier, because we'd all think the same. But we wouldn't be going anywhere. God has given us different gifts. God has made us all different, so we complement each other. And sometimes that causes clashes, but going back to Ephesians 4, we need to work together to keep the peace. And that's a lot easier said than done sometimes. But like a jigsaw, every piece is needed to show the finished puzzle. No piece is more or less important than the other, no matter how small. If you don't have that piece, the picture isn't complete. But that's why when other people aren't here, we suffer. Because people have been given different roles, people have different functions. And when people aren't here, we've got to fill in those gaps. And I don't know if you've ever tried to put the wrong piece in a jigsaw, try and force it into one place. No matter how much you try, it will never fit. Even if you actually manage to get it in the hole, it will never look like the finished photo. So when people are missing, we can never have the full picture. But what does the full picture look like? As Christians, in unity, we should have one aim. Our aim as Christians is to be a witness to the world, to witness Christ to everyone, and to display God's glory. That should be our ultimate aim. That should be our big picture. When we come together in unity, our big picture should be showing Christ, should be showing God's glory. And that's a lot harder to do when we don't have all the pieces. That's why every single person is important. God has put you here for a reason. No matter what you might think, no matter what you might feel, no matter what you might believe, God has put you here for a reason. And that's why every person has different gifts. When I was looking through this in the Life Application Study Bible, they talked about everyone else having different spiritual gifts. And said, once you find your gift, how then can you be effective in it? And I found these 5 points were really helpful. So we have to realize that every gift comes from God. Going back to what we were saying earlier, we can do nothing without God. Understand that not everyone has the same gift. We are purposely different. We've got to look at who we are and what we do best. Because a lot of people who go, well, I don't know what my gift is, I don't know what my role is. A lot of the time, it's what you do best. You do that best because that's the gift that God has given you. Dedicate yourself to God's service and not to your own personal success. When we start looking at ourselves, at what we can achieve through our gift, then it stops being about showing God's glory. It stops being about witnessing Christ. And it starts being about us. How high can we get? How high can we achieve? And God's not in that. And if God's not in it, it's empty. It's pointless. And fifth, be willing to utilize our gifts wholeheartedly, not holding anything back from God's service. God gave us these gifts, so we should willingly step out and give him everything. Everything that he has given us, we should use for him and step out and give him all of it. There is no point being given something and not using it all, but using it for the right purposes. If every Christian were to follow these five things, were to walk wholeheartedly in their gifts, were to acknowledge where they came from and understand what it means, I think we'd see a complete difference in the church. Because we've all been given these different gifts. It says in Ephesians 4 again, 15 to 16, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become mature in every respect, the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. The church grows and builds itself up as each part does its work. You've been given a job, you've been given a role. When you fulfill that role, the church will grow. When we all work together, the church will grow, because everyone will see Christ, everyone will see the glory of God. And you're here for a reason. Like I said, God has put you here, here and now. Whatever that reason is, you may know it, you may not, but God has put you here, God has brought you to this place, this family, this body. He's working something out in your life, whether you see it or not, and it will benefit you and it will benefit the church. But what unites us? As believers, what unites us? First, Christ is the head of the church. Again, going back to that Ephesians verse, it says that he is the head. Without a head, a body has no life. Without Jesus at the top, the church is dead. No matter what we do, no matter how unified we are, if Christ isn't at the top, then there is nothing. We just become another social club. And that's not what the church is supposed to be. Charles Spurgeon put it like this: it is no use for my little finger to have unity with my hand and my arm if that arm is not united to my body and my body is not united to my head. So each believer must be personally joined to Christ, whether he is only comparable to a little finger or is like the strong bone of the leg. He must be equally joined to the head. If we're not joined to Christ personally, we cannot operate in the way we should. We cannot be part of the unified Church of Christ. In Ephesians 4:4-6, it says, there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, through all and in all. Paul shows us that when it comes to unity, the central matter is there is only one God, only one Christ, one Spirit, one baptism, one faith. It is in that we come together. we are all joined by that one faith, that one Spirit, one God, in full service of Him. But all of that comes back to the same thing. It all comes back to what Bob touched on earlier, what we were singing about. It's God's worthiness and our connection to Him. Both of those things, Christ being the head and us being joined in one Spirit, are about connection to God. And the only way we can get connection to God is through the blood of Jesus. The only way we can get connected to God is to know that we can't be. On our own, we can't connect to Him. Not on our own merit, not on our own works. We are fully dependent on Christ. Because as a result of our sin, we do deserve death. We deserve that eternal separation from God in hell. We deserve to come under His judgment. He looked at the world and He loves us and He is merciful. In that love and mercy, He sent Jesus. Jesus lived a sinless life, but was still executed on a cross. He was still condemned to die, even though He'd done nothing wrong. And in that death, He took on the burden of our sin. His body was sacrificed for our sin. So the thing that truly unites us as Christians above everything else is the blood of Jesus that was shed on the cross that day. His divine body given as a sacrifice, and in His death He made a way, and He rose again and defeated death. As Christians, we don't have to fear death. But people who haven't accepted Jesus don't have the same assurance. People who aren't living, who aren't covered by Jesus' blood, who haven't given their lives to Him, they don't have the assurance of life. And that's why it's so important that we as Christians be united. We don't want people looking in from outside and going, well, they're just fighting amongst themselves. There's something like 700,000 denominations or something, some ridiculously high number. And all non-Christians see is they look in and see us fighting between ourselves. Who's right about Revelation? Who's right about the tribulation? Who's right about salvation? It's all that kind of thing. But ultimately, we've got to come back to Christ and go, He is the one we are showing. We don't have to fear death, but we want other people to have that same hope. So, in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God. Through faith, for all you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ. If you belong to Christ, you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to His promise. If you belong to Christ, you're an heir to the promise. You're part of this jigsaw. Could I have the next slide up, please, Lisa? You're part of the jigsaw that makes up the church, that makes up everything we do. Could I have the next slide up, please? The jigsaw one, it's just all colours. Slide 15. Thank you. So you're all part of this jigsaw. Every one of you fills a role, a shape, a space, a colour that would be empty without you. But when we realise that we are heirs to Christ, when we realise that we're all united in Christ, all those roles join together. Because when Christ looks at us, he doesn't see colours. He doesn't see anything apart from pure white royal robes that he has given us because we are justified by him. But when you have a really good jigsaw, when you look at it, you don't see the shapes and the lines. They all join together, and all you see is the picture. The picture that we should be showing to the world. That when we mesh together, when we come together and seamlessly join in unity, that is the picture that we show to the world. So, I'd like to take communion now. And in communion, we remember the body of Jesus that was sacrificed on the cross and his blood that was shed. Father, I thank you for your love and your mercy, that even though we don't deserve it, you sent your Son to die for us. I thank you that through your sacrifice, we can live eternally. We can have an assurance that we will not die, that no matter what happens on this earth, we will live forever, eternally with you. We look to the world and see it growing further away from you, Lord, but we come back to this. We come back to the sacrifice that you made that's at the center of it all, the only way that we can be connected to you. And Lord, we thank you for that. Jesus, we thank you for your body, which was given on the cross for us as a sacrifice. The death that we deserved, that now we no longer have to pay for. And we thank you for the blood that you shed, the blood that ran down that tree that day. And as we take communion, we remember you. We remember all you did for us, the pain and torment you went through. For our salvation. And we thank you for that, Lord. Amen. So, if you're a Christian, then please feel free to come and take communion. I think everyone here is, but if there's anyone here who isn't a Christian or wants to rededicate their life to Jesus, then come and speak to me or Bob, and we'd be happy to go through that with you. But yeah, if everyone wants to come in and remember the sacrifice that Jesus made. I just want to encourage you, for anyone who doesn't know where their jigsaw piece fits, for anyone who isn't sure what their gifts are and what their role is, come up to the front when everyone goes for tea and coffee, because we'd love to pray for you, because everyone has a role. God has put everyone here for a purpose. And if you don't know that, then I think God wants to show you that. Because it's when we work in those purposes that we're most effective for him. I'll just finish with a prayer from the prayer that Jesus prayed over his disciples from John 17:20. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. So when you go out of here today, know that you are loved by God and that you have a part to play in His church. You have a role in His unified church. That prayer of Jesus wasn't just for the disciples. It was for those who will believe in me through their message. That's us. Through Jesus, through the disciples, through down through history, that prayer includes us. We are united to them. So as we go out of here, look for ways that you can serve in your gift, you can serve in your role, and that you can be united even with those you never thought you'd find unity with. With every Christian, we have Christ in common. Lord, thank you for everything you have done. Thank you that through you we can achieve unity as a church, and when we do, Satan's going to be scared. He's going to go running because we're going to be such a strong force together, fighting for your fight, fighting your fight, Lord. The battle we know that is already won. Help us to know how to be united. Help us to know how to serve. Help us to know how to build each other up and build up your church, Lord. As we go from here today, I pray that we will look for opportunities to fill our roles and show you to the world, show your picture, your cross, and your glory, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay, so free to go for a cup of tea and coffee. And just in your spirit, I'm just sort of sensing that actually God's, just because we've concluded that bit, you know, God hasn't concluded, okay? God hasn't concluded. So let's continue with that sort of awareness and theme as we have a cup of a drink and a chat together. You know, if you want feel you want to pray for somebody while you're having a cup of coffee, ask them. If you feel you want just to talk something through or you want some support, ask for it. So let's go and enjoy fellowship, and God hasn't finished yet, okay?